Okay, if you'll please take your Bible now at this time and turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. We are in the midst of a study of Matthew chapters 8 and 9. The name of our message series is called 10 Miracles of Jesus. And so far, we've done three of them, right? We looked at the first three miracles, and we saw that they were all healing miracles. And they were all healing miracles of unlikely people. And then last week, we looked at the first of really four dialogues on the theme of discipleship. We saw that in these two chapters, we have 10 miracles, and interspersed between them, we have these four dialogues on discipleship. So we looked at the first of those last week. So we've had three healing miracles, a dialogue in discipleship. Now we come to another series of three miracles. And these next three are all miracles of power. And together they show us Jesus' power over nature, his power over Satan, and then his power over sin. So we're looking at another group of three miracles now. And today we come to the first of these three, the calming of the storm. And this miracle in particular shows us Jesus' power over nature. Okay, so we're in Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse 23. Please stand with me now for the reading of God's word. Then Jesus got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us. We're going to drown." He replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray now. Dear God, I pray that you would take your word now, this record of these events that took place on the Sea of Galilee so many years ago. Your word is living and active, so Holy Spirit, apply it to our hearts now. Teach us what we need to learn from this passage. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Probably one of the most common questions you hear any week, every week, is, how's the weather? What's the weather going to be like? If you call someone up north, you ask them, what's the weather like up there? If they call down here, well, actually, they've stopped asking me what the weather's like down here when they call from up north, because it's always so nice down here. But the weather, you know, we live at a time where we can access more information about the weather than at any time in history on the earth. I even have an app on my phone. Not only tells me how many minutes before it starts raining right in my location, wherever I'm at. It takes the GPS to see where I'm at. It'll also tell me how long it's going to rain, and then it'll even tell me how many minutes until it will stop. You know, so look at it and say, it's going to stop raining in 4 minutes. So I look at my watch, 4 minutes later, it stops raining. And it's crazy, the world that we live in, isn't it? So we have all of these sorts of this up-to-the-minute, state-of-the-art information about the weather, but the one thing we still can't do is what? We can't change the weather, right? And the old saying is as true as ever. Everyone talks about the weather, but no one can do anything about it. That is, no one except Jesus, of course. Because in today's passage, I hope you notice this, Jesus doesn't just talk about the weather, right? He doesn't just talk about the weather. He talks to the weather, and he does something about it. So, yes, Jesus can do that. And so today's miracle shows us that Jesus has absolute power even over nature. And it teaches us three very important things about Jesus. All three are in the outline that is in your bulletin, if you'd like to take that out at this time to follow along or take notes. But here are the three things that this miracle teaches us about Jesus. Number one, that Jesus is completely unthreatened. He is completely unthreatened. And we'll talk about that and what that means. Number two, that Jesus will take care of you even in the most dire of situations. And then number three, that Jesus is fully God and fully man. So we want to look at all three of these now together. First of all, this miracle teaches us that Jesus is completely unthreatened. Look at verses 23 through 25 with me now. Then Jesus got into the boat, and his disciples followed him. Without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping, and the disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us! We're going to drown!" And in these verses, we see several ways that Jesus is completely unthreatened by this storm. First of all, nothing catches him by surprise. Nothing catches Christ by surprise. Now, verse 24 tells us that the storm came up without warning. Without warning. It's a single word in the Greek that literally means, look, a storm, behold, a storm. And here it describes the suddenness of the storm that came up on the sea. That's why we have it translated, without warning. Now, the storm may have come up without warning for the disciples, but trust me, this did not catch Jesus by surprise. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. He knows the beginning from the end. He got into the boat knowing the storm was coming. God is never truly surprised about anything. Why? Because he already knows it all, right? That is so unlike us. Life catches us off guard all the time, doesn't it? We even have a phrase for it, don't we? Didn't see that one coming, right? People go, man, didn't see that one coming. Because things happen to us all the time without warning. And from our limited standpoint, life is unpredictable. It is uncertain. And when we get hit by these sudden crises in life, they are really a reminder how helpless we really are, how vulnerable we are, how little we know of the future. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know what's going to happen this afternoon. We don't know those things, but not Jesus. Not Jesus. Nothing catches him by surprise. And then secondly, nothing causes him worry or stress. Wouldn't that be wonderful, right? But with Jesus, it's true. Nothing causes him worry or stress. When that storm hit the boat, Jesus is just sleeping in the back of the boat, right? He's fast asleep. And this wasn't just a little storm. This wasn't just like a little squall that came up on the Sea of Galilee. Matthew calls it a great storm. He calls it a furious storm. And the word that he uses for storm, there's a word that literally means a violent shaking. In fact, when you take the same word and you talk about something that happens on the land, same word in the Greek, it's the word for earthquake. That's the word you use to describe an earthquake. The same word, this violent shaking. When it takes place on the water, then it's a tempest, right? A tempest at sea. A storm on the sea. And, so this storm hits the boat in the Sea of Galilee, and everything around them is just shaking furiously. Their entire world is suddenly thrown into turmoil. And the shaking was so bad that Matthew tells us the waves swept over the boat. Now, I don't know a lot about boating. I know a lot of you know more than I do. But I do know this, that it works better when the water stays on the outside of the boat. Okay? Have you ever noticed that? It works a whole lot better that way. But you know, right now the waves are sweeping over the sides. Matthew's saying the waves are so high that they covered the boat. It hid it from sight. You know, the boat go up on top of the wave. There's the boat. Go down underneath and the waves are up. You can't see the boat anymore. And in the midst of all of this turmoil, Jesus is doing what? He's sleeping. And you got to wonder, you go, how could someone sleep through all that commotion? I suppose someone might say, well, maybe he was just really, really tired. You know, and I'm sure Jesus was tired. I mean, that's probably why he went to sleep to begin with. He just spent the whole evening, we saw this a couple weeks ago, healing all of the sick people who were brought to him. But tiredness alone does not explain it. Jesus could sleep in the boat in the midst of the storm. Why? Because he was unafraid. He was not surprised by the storm. He was not afraid of it when it came. Even if we knew everything that was coming, we would still worry and stress, wouldn't we? In fact, actually, if we knew what was coming, we'd probably worry and stress all the more, right? It wouldn't work so good in our favor. But Jesus knew the storm was coming, and he went to sleep. Nothing causes him worry or stress. The Bible tells us that God neither slumbers nor sleeps, but Jesus, as a man, as a human being, Jesus slept in the boat. Tired and trusting, Jesus slept through the storm. Nothing causes him worry or stress. And then thirdly, we may panic or fear, but Jesus remains unafraid. When you look at the disciples in these verses, they are in full panic mode, aren't they? You've got to remember, these were fishermen. They're used to being out in the sea. They're used to storms coming up. They'd seen big storms before, and so this one must have been really big to scare them this way. And they really thought they were going to die. I mean, they go and they wake Jesus, they shake him, "Lord, save us! We're going to drown." And the word that's translated drown here in the verse is a word that literally means to perish. And it's in the present tense here, and so you could even translate it this way: "Lord, we are perishing. We are in the process of dying right now." And although the disciples are crying out about the storm, this is also the cry of every sinner who comes to God for salvation. "Lord, save us. We are perishing. We are dying in our sin. We are not going to make it without you." You know, some people wait until a crisis to turn to God, but we should really turn to God before the crisis. And if you do not know Christ as your Savior this morning, trust me, you are in crisis. You really are dying in your sins. You are perishing, and you really do need to call out to Jesus for salvation. Jesus in these verses is the perfect example of trusting faith for us. The disciples, they're terrified by the storm. Jesus is sleeping unafraid. And the reason why is because he completely trusts his heavenly Father. Psalm 91 tells us this: "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust." Jesus knew those verses. He knew this psalm. And Jesus sleeping in the boat shows us how we also may trust God in times of crisis. We can also claim Psalm 91. God is your refuge. He's your fortress. No matter what you're going through, you also can rest in the shadow of the Almighty. So we haven't even gotten to the miracle of calming the storm yet. And we already see this miracle of Jesus sleeping in the boat in the middle of the storm. And that's the first thing we learn from Jesus' power over nature in this miracle, is that Jesus is completely unthreatened. Nothing can threaten him at all. Secondly, this miracle teaches us that Jesus will take care of you no matter what your circumstances. And now we come to the actual miracle in the story. Look at verse 26 with me. Jesus replied, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" And then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. Now, there are a couple of things that we can learn from this part of the story. And the first one is simply this, that faith is incompatible with fear. Faith is incompatible with fear. You can have faith, or you can be afraid, but you cannot do both at the same time. Either your faith is going to drive out your fear, or your fear is going to drive out your faith. That's why Jesus says to his disciples, he says, "You of little faith, why are you so afraid?" And the word that Jesus uses for fear here, it's a word that means to be timid or cowardly. In other words, Jesus is saying, disciples, this is a fear that you should have overcome with your faith. But that's exactly the problem for the disciples here, isn't it? Because Jesus says that they have little faith. And guess what? Little faith means big fear. And that's where the disciples are at right now. This phrase, little faith, it's a phrase that appears 5 times in the Gospels. Every time it's used with reference to Jesus' disciples. The first time Jesus uses it in the Sermon on the Mount, he's teaching his disciples. He's teaching them about trusting God, about having faith, trusting God's going to take care of your needs. Look at the birds, look at the grass. Matthew 6:30 says, "If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" Now they are panicking in the storm. Once again, Jesus says, "You've got little faith." And this is in direct contrast to someone we met earlier in this chapter. Remember a few weeks ago, we looked at the miracle of Jesus healing the centurion's servant. And the centurion was a Gentile, but he had an amazing faith. He said, "You don't need to come to my house, Jesus. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed." And Jesus was astonished. He said, I tell you the truth, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Great faith. Well, he wasn't even a disciple of Jesus. The disciples are here and they have little faith. Now, the good news is that they had some faith, right? At least they came to Jesus for help, right? That's a good start. But even as they came to Jesus, they were a wreck, right? They were still afraid. They were going to drown. And what Jesus is saying in his rebuke of the disciples here, oh, you of little faith, he's saying no matter the size of the storm, doesn't matter how big the trial is, your faith should be the same. Our faith should not go up and down with the size of our trials. In fact, one of the reasons Jesus brings us into the storm, remember, Jesus is the one who brought them into the storm, right? Jesus is the one who said, hey, let's get into a boat and go across the Sea of Galilee right now. Jesus knew what he was leading them into. But one of the reasons Jesus brings us into the storm, one of the reasons God brings us into trials, is to test your faith. For example, we read in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, these trials have come so that your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. So yes, come to Jesus for help, but come believing, not despairing. Come in confidence, not in fear. And come knowing that Jesus can rescue you from the storm, because that's exactly what he did for his disciples. Back to verse 26 now. Then Jesus got up, and he rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The word rebuked here means to command with the implication of a threat. In other words, do this or else. That's how Jesus addressed the wind and the waves. Maybe Jesus is completely unthreatened. We've seen that. But the storm is not safe from Jesus. It's not safe from his command. You might wonder, well, what did he exactly say to it? Matthew doesn't tell us. You go to the Gospel of Mark. Mark tells us Jesus' exact words. And this is what Jesus said. Quiet, be still. Quiet, be still. Now, we can't even speak that to our kids and get them to be quiet, right? Jesus speaks this to a huge storm, and he gets them to be quiet. Quiet, peace, be still. And miraculously, the winds and the waves obeyed, and all of that terrible shaking and turmoil stopped, and everything became completely calm. We said as we began this series that we're seeing that Jesus is bringing the kingdom. That's what he proclaimed, right? The kingdom of God is here. He is bringing the kingdom, and with the kingdom comes power. So far, he's shown the power to make clean, the power to heal from a distance, the power to carry our diseases. And now he shows us that he has power over nature as well. He got up, rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. When Matthew tells us that Jesus got up, the word there is the exact same word the Bible later uses for Jesus rising from the dead. And that's significant because, once again, this miracle not only teaches us about Jesus' power over the storm, but it's also teaching us Jesus' power to save. Jesus rescued his disciples from death that day. And when Jesus rose from the dead, he showed that he also has the power to rescue us from death. Another part of the miracle is how quickly the storm went away. Did you notice that? Jesus just said the word, and the storm immediately stopped. And not only that, even the surface of the water became instantly calm. It's the same way with your salvation. Salvation happens in an instant. It happens in a moment. It's not a process where you're getting better and better and then somehow you're earning your salvation. No, you receive it in a moment by faith. One moment you are lost in your sins. One moment you are perishing. And then the next moment, as you trust Christ for salvation, you are saved. Just like that, everything changes. The calming of the storm was contrary to nature. That doesn't happen. You don't just speak to a storm and it stops. That was contrary to nature. And it's the same way with us. We have a sinful nature that stands opposed to God and his ways. But when you trust Christ, what happens? God gives you a new nature. You become a new creation in Christ with new desires to serve and to please God. And then once you're saved, Jesus continues to rescue you for the rest of your life. And no matter how big or deep the trial, know that Jesus can rescue you in an instant. In an instant. Your world may be shaken to the core, but Jesus just has to say the word and everything will be calm. I want you also to notice God's grace in this miracle. Even though the disciples showed little faith, Jesus still rescued them. And so, yes, their faith was imperfect, but Jesus did not ignore their cries for help. I like what Frederick Bruner writes about this. He says, no matter how weakly or unworthily we approach Jesus, no matter how unimpressive our faith, Jesus still helps us. Jesus' grace is more important than our faith. We read in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. In other words, Jesus speaks peace. Be still, not only to the storm, but he speaks that to our troubled hearts and minds today. Faith is incompatible with fear. Jesus can rescue you from any storm. That's our second lesson we learn from this miracle today, that Jesus will take care of you. Jesus is completely unthreatened. Jesus will take care of you. And finally, number three, Jesus is fully God and fully man. Look at verse 27 with me now, our last verse. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him." And that's really the question of the day, isn't it? What kind of man is this? What kind of man speaks to the winds and the waves, and the winds and the waves listen to him? What kind of man talks to the weather and does something about it? What kind of man? Now, Jesus was definitely a man. He was a human being like you and I. He had a limited human body, just like you and I do. Jesus got hungry. He got tired. He got thirsty. He was tired in the boat. That's why he went to sleep. He'd worked hard healing people all evening. He's definitely a man. But this miracle shows us that Jesus is so much more than a man. Because in the Old Testament, we go back into our Bibles, we learn that only God has power over the sea. That would make sense anyways, but we find specific verses about this. Psalm 65, we read these verses earlier in the service. You answer us with awesome deeds of righteousness, O God our Savior, who formed the mountains by your power, who stilled the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves. Or again, in Psalm 107, and when you read these verses, they read almost like a commentary on the passage we just read from Matthew. Listen to this. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. You say, wow, whoever wrote the psalm must have read Matthew. Well, no, this comes centuries before Matthew. But you see, this is God. Only God has power over the sea. And Jesus was showing by this miracle that he was both God and man. And Matthew tells us that his disciples were amazed. They were astonished. Same word Matthew used back in verse 10. We saw this earlier in the chapter, when Jesus was astonished at the centurion's faith. Well, here the men are astonished at Jesus' power. It's a word that just means to marvel or to wonder. Do you ever wonder about Jesus? Do you ever marvel about him? Because you should. Read through the Gospels and you will find that there is no one like him in all of history. Jesus defies all human categories. When you read through the Gospels, the question that should start hitting you over and over again is like, what kind of man is this? He is a man, but he is much more than a man. He is fully God and fully man. His tiredness in the boat shows us his humanity. His ability to speak to the storm and calm the storm shows his divinity. And then Jesus' power over the storm also shows us that he truly does have all authority in heaven and on the earth. The disciples cried out, even the winds and the waves obey him. That word obey simply means to do what someone says, to carry out his orders. And that's exactly what the winds and the waves did. Jesus said, quiet, be still, and the winds and the waves obeyed. That, folks, is power. And once again, the Old Testament teaches us only the Lord has power over the sea. Well, Jesus is Lord. And he's not only Lord and master over illness and disease, as shown by his healing miracles, he is also Lord and master over nature, as shown by his calming the storm. One of the early church fathers interpreted this passage as saying, creation recognizes its creator. And that's what's happening here. What kind of man is this? He is a man, but so much more than a man. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. He is fully God, fully man. Jesus came proclaiming the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is here. The kingdom of God is near. And then he demonstrated the power and presence of the kingdom through his miracles. The miracle we've looked at today, the calming of the storm, shows Jesus has power even over nature. And what do we take away from this? Simply this, that the Jesus who stilled the storm on the Sea of Galilee, he is the same Jesus who created the world. He is the same Jesus who sustains the world by his power. And he is the same Jesus who continues to intervene in our world even today. He is the Savior who not only saves you from your sin, but stills the storms of life and rescues you in times of trouble. One day he will come again. And when he comes again, he will bring the kingdom in its fullness. Remember, all of these miracles are previews of coming attractions. And when Jesus brings the kingdom in its fullness, guess what? All of nature will be restored. No more storms, no more earthquakes, no more shakings. All of it will be perfectly restored. And so when we see who Christ is, that should bring us great comfort and encouragement today. Are you in the middle of a storm this morning? Has your world been shaken? Is there something perhaps that you are not trusting Christ for this morning? Is there something that you think is beyond his ability to help? If that's you this morning, then you need this passage today. And you need to remember, Jesus spoke to the storm on the Sea of Galilee and the storm stopped. Jesus is completely unthreatened. Jesus will take care of you. He is fully God, he is fully man, and you can trust his power and his care no matter how bad the situation. Trust Christ. Trust Christ in all things. That's the message of this miracle this morning. Let us pray. Thank you, God, for the power of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for the love of Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, for the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, you are all-powerful. You are unthreatened. You are all-loving. You will take care of us. You are God incarnate. You are fully God and fully man. Lord, I know a number of us are going through some very difficult storms or trials right now. Lord, I pray, first of all, that you would speak peace, be still to our hearts and minds. And give us peace in the midst of the storm. And then, Lord, I pray that you would get up and speak to the troubles in our lives. Tell them to go away. And Lord, be our Savior, be our rescuer in times of trouble. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.